This morning, I would like to speak about the Passover lamb. And that Passover lamb being Jesus. Now, this is a subject that I've been thinking about for quite some time. And it's really not an easy subject for me. Because Jesus, as the Passover lamb, has done so much for us. And part of the reason I want to talk about the Passover lamb today is because it's so close to the time of Passover for the Jewish people. It actually happened on the 14th day of the month of Abib, which is the first month of the Jewish calendar. And that is in our March or April. And we correspondingly have our Easter at the time of Passover. Now, Passover has been of utmost importance to the Jewish people. Even now, they celebrate the Passover. And for us as Christians, there is much to learn from. The freedom from slavery that the Jews experienced coming out of Egypt, it symbolizes a freedom for us as Christians that we have through Jesus. Jesus is represented to us as the Passover lamb. And it is this that I would like for us to look at. First, in John 1 and verse 29, John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God. He says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" And you can imagine the people there that had come to hear John, and they knew what he was talking about. They knew that this was the Messiah when he said that. And for the Jews, every morning and every evening, a lamb was sacrificed in the temple for the sins of the people. And you'll find that in Exodus 29, verses 38 through 42. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. And as I give you these scriptures, I'm not going to read them all, because that would take me too long. And I don't know how many of you would want to sit here for an hour or an hour and a half, something like that. Isaiah 53 and verse 7 says, that the Messiah, God's servant, would be led to the slaughter like a lamb. He was led to the slaughter like a lamb to pay a penalty for the sin of us. A life had to be given. And God chose to provide that sacrifice himself. The sins of the world were removed when Jesus died as the perfect sacrifice. Jesus became the perfect sacrifice for sin. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 through 8 says, "Get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth." As the Hebrews prepared for the exodus from their slavery in Egypt, they were commanded to prepare bread. This bread was to be without yeast, because they didn't have time to wait for it to rise, and because yeast was also a symbol for sin. They were commanded to sweep all of it from their houses. Exodus 12 and verse 15, and also Exodus 13 and verse 7. Christ is our Passover lamb, the perfect sacrifice for sin, because he has delivered us from the slavery of sin. We should have nothing to do with the sins of the past, which is the old yeast. Exodus 12 gives Passover instructions and also Passover restrictions. The feast of the Passover was to be an annual holiday in honor of the night when the Lord passed over the homes of the Israelites. The Hebrews followed God's instructions by placing the blood of a lamb on the door frames of their homes. That night, the firstborn son of every family that did not have blood on the door frames was killed. The lamb had to be killed in order to get the blood that would protect them. And this foreshadowed the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, who gave his blood for the sins of all people. Inside their homes, the Israelites ate a meal. That meal was of roast lamb, bitter herbs, and bread made without yeast. The unleavened bread could be made quickly because the dough didn't have to rise, so they could just leave in a hurry. And the bitter herbs signified the bitterness of slavery. And for us, it's the bitterness of the slavery to sin as Jesus died. And that the Hebrews also were commanded not to take and break the bones of the lamb. In John 19 and verse 36, we have a foreshadowing of they're breaking the bones, and Jesus, when he went to the cross, they did not break the bones of Jesus when he went to the cross. Instead, Jesus had died. Normally, the Roman soldiers would come up and they would break the bones of the person that was on the cross so that they would die more quickly there. But Jesus was already dead, and they didn't break any of his bones. In Leviticus 17 and verse 11, it says, "For the life of a creature is in the blood. I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." How does blood make atonement for sin? When offered with the right attitude, the sacrifice and the blood shed from it made forgiveness of sin possible. On the one hand, blood represented the sinner's life, my life. Infected by sin and headed for death. On the other hand, the blood represented the innocent life of the animal that was sacrificed in the place of the sinful person, making the offering. The death of the animal, of which the blood was proof that they were dead, fulfilled the penalty of death, and God granted forgiveness to the sinner. It is God who forgives based on the faith of the person doing the sacrificing. Now, sins were not fully forgiven until the time of Christ, when Christ became that sacrifice for sin. And they were rolled forward every year. Once a year, there was that sacrifice that was for the sin of all the people. And so every year this was done over and over again until the time when Christ became that perfect sacrifice for sin for all time. Hebrews 9, verses 20 and 22. He said, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you to keep. In the same way, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and everything used in its ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Sacrifice, which is the shedding of blood, was what Jesus was willing to do for us. Hebrews 9 and verse 14 says, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the Holy Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God." Now, the theme of redemption goes throughout the Bible. In the Passover, the blood from the lamb was applied to the door frames, and the Israelites were spared from death of the firstborn. And the main theme of Passover, though, is freedom from the slavery of Egypt. Redemption means to buy back. This is what was happening for Israel with the Lamb's blood. And when Christ went to the cross for us, he paid the price of sin and bought us back for God. According to Hebrews 9:14, three things happen for us because of Jesus' blood. First, our consciences have been cleansed. Secondly, we are freed from death's sting and can live to serve God. And thirdly, we are freed from sin's power. What a mighty God. Exodus 12:5 and Leviticus 22, verses 17 through 25, tell that the sacrifices had to be without defect. This was a foreshadowing of Christ, as he was without sin, because he lived a perfect, sinless life. Totally unlike what my life has been. Real cleansing from sin came for mankind through Jesus. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Sin, by its very nature, brings death. Jesus died, shedding his blood for the cleansing and the removal of sins. His blood purifies us. And just as Christ rose from the dead, we rise to a new life of fellowship with him and with the Father. Romans 6 and verse 4 says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And I say, praise God for that. We need Jesus. We need that new life. The Jews celebrated Passover, remembering their freedom from slavery in Egypt. And we now celebrate the Lord's Day, the freedom from sin that Jesus, our Passover Lamb, has brought for us. On the night before his crucifixion, which was a Thursday, preparation day for Passover, Jesus' disciples prepared the Passover meal. The applied emblems in this meal, the bread and the fruit of the vine, were applied by Jesus to explain what he would accomplish on the cross, transforming it into a remembrance of his own person and work. He took the fruit of the vine and the bread, and he showed how they symbolize his sacrifice on the cross. Matthew 26, verses 26 through 29. The bread represented the body that would be broken. The fruit of the vine was a picture of his blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. In doing this, Jesus showed how the exodus from Egypt foreshadowed the ultimate deliverance that was through himself. He said in Luke 22 and verse 20, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." "which is poured out for you." Jesus announced that through his death and resurrection, forgiveness of sins would be made available to all, and that men could once again live in that communion with God. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 3 through 6. I advise you to read that. You know, it's important. It's interesting to note in John 19:14 that Pilate delivered Jesus to be crucified at the same time that the priest sacrificed the Passover lamb. I find that interesting. The Passover lamb. That's in Matthew 26:29. This is... I'm losing my place, so... we are now to observe the remembrance of Jesus continually. As he says, until that day, I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, what happens on that day when we drink it anew with him in his Father's kingdom? This is the wedding supper of the Lamb. And we find that in Matthew 22:1-14, and also Revelation 19:5-8. I want to be there. To be with the Lord in that wedding supper, remembering all the greatness, all the things that he has done for us. But you know, right now, we are not the only ones that celebrate him as the Lamb. Right now, all of heaven rejoices in the Lamb. He is the one who overcame. He is the one that was worthy to open the scroll and all the seals that are found in Revelation. In Revelation 5, I'd like to read to you from Revelation 5, verses 9-14. It says, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." And that is what we are to do right now, to reign on the earth, exalting Jesus in our lives. "And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." Hallelujah. Shouldn't we worship and honor him? All of heaven and earth, all in the seas, all on the land, under the earth, everything praising Him because He is the Creator, because He is God. Have you come to Jesus yet? To die to self? To share in His life through baptism? If we repent and we confess our sins, He forgives and gives us life and healing and His Holy Spirit to be our strength and guide. If you have any need, won't you come now?